Accession number 19919, Reel 3.
Captain Linnell, Reel 3. You were just about to tell me about the surrender of the Germans.
This was at the north end of the island. The Germans finally surrendered on the 8th. And an unfortunate thing happened to one of the troops of 48 Commando. We were, of course, in the west tip. And the one troop was sent in their Buffalo to meet up with the Canadians on the other side of the island, Veer. They going down the, as I mentioned, all the island was flooded. They were on a road, and they saw a Dutchman going down the road in a rowing boat. The first troop went around this rowing boat, but the second one went straight ahead and hit a mine, and the casualties were pretty severe on that. They blew the whole Buffalo up with all the boys in it, which is rather a sad occasion, especially as the war had just finished at that time. We then sort of returned to our comfort of the houses of in Belgium, where we left, and we moved from there to the next peninsula, to the island of Vulcan in South Beveland, where we spent most of the winter around the town of Hoos. In the meantime, we were doing raids on the Schraumbeveland and North Beveland and Overflacky peninsulas, and trying to take prisoners, which we did.
Can you relate any details about that as they affected you, please?
No, my job was to sort of give supporting fire from a distance with my Vickers machine guns. And one thing which was, I mean, using imagination again, I think, was that these dikes were, of course, all about the same level. So the Germans, if you went across the dike in a vehicle, they would spot it. So what we did, we got a farmer to put all the machine guns and the ammunition on a farm cart, and we all crawled on our bellies across the dike to get into the low ground. And this chap delivered our machine guns for us, which was, the Germans never suspected, I don't suppose. But we did have to, we did quite a considerable shoot there, and one of the troops did have a bad time, and they ran out of tape, I believe, and one of my own chaps who had been with me in Sicily, was now a lieutenant, and he lost a leg on a shoe mine, which is very sad. But after that, we moved onto the River Mars, and we did one attack in a place called the Beechbosch, and we had a patrol which had gone out in boats, and they'd had the boats sunk, and they were trying to recover this patrol, and which we'd actually did, but we got about 5 miles behind the German lines in doing so. But no casualties on that at all.
This is into 45, is it?
Yes, it would be now 45. Then we moved into Germany, into a town of Minden, where the Allied naval headquarters were, with Admiral Burroughs, inland, well inland. And our job there was to guard the naval establishment, the headquarters establishment.
Was this after VE Day?
Oh yes, we are after VE Day. VE Day, we were in Holland, and it wasn't possible to do much celebrating because there wasn't anything to celebrate with. But I just mentioned went over to Minden, looking after the Admiralty, and at this stage, I was sent back to Gravesend to try and get billets re-established for the return of the troops. And I had the colonel's staff car, I think the regimental sergeant major and a couple of Marines. And we were stuck in England for about 2 months with this car, which is a dreadful situation.
2 months on?
We had this car for about 2 months and living in England and having a rather pleasant time of it. But then we had to drive back to Minden. Then in 1945, we disbanded the command returned to England and was disbanded.
When you were in Minden, how did you get on with the Germans?
I had a bit of trouble. I was in another town from Minden, one day I sent for the burgomaster because little things were going on. We found some cars were being used where they weren't allowed to, and this burgomaster was quite a stroppy guy. And I sent for him, he refused to come, so I got a lieutenant to go and round him up and chase him through his town, which he didn't like.
What do you mean, chase him through his town?
Well, he just ran him through the town to see me in my office.
Ran him in front of the car, you mean?
No, he ran. And this horse chap didn't like this at all, but this is the way it had to be.
Which town was this?
Oh, this was near Minden, not in Minden. I've forgotten the name of it at the moment. And
why do you think he adopted that attitude?
Well, I don't know. typical German, obstinacy. Now, I was also sent to another little town where there had been a German war camp, prisoner war camp for politically motivated Germans. And in this camp were a whole lot of displaced Poles, Lithuanians and Slavs, and I had to sort of maintain order with them. And some of them, of course, went out at night doing raids, and they'd say, let's go to farmer so-and-so and knock him about a bit, which what they were doing. Finally, I used to put two Marines into these farmhouses, and they could do anything like all day, but one of them had to be awake at night in case anybody did a raid on them. Sure enough, they did a raid one day, and they shot them in the door. So that stopped very fast.
Those were displaced persons?
Displaced persons taking law into their own hands. This camp was at a little town called Wewelsburg.
Which burg?
Wewelsburg, Wewelsburg, Wewelsburg. Also, there was a big chateau there, which I believe belonged to either Himmler or some quite senior Nazi, and some German major burnt the place down so we wouldn't get it before we arrived. Anyhow, Wewelsburg, quite interesting, really. Similar, in a way, to my looking after these Yugoslavians in Italy.
In what way?
The displaced people had nowhere to go, had to feed them, make sure they were well looked after, and they didn't get into any trouble, which was what we did. So, as I mentioned before, shortly after this, we returned to England and disbanded. At that time, I'd been asked if I'd write the official history of 48 Commando, which I did, and I did it in the comfort of the small arms school at Browndown I mentioned before, with a nice cabin to myself. And it took me, I'd spent quite a lot of time writing this book, submitting the proofs to the, handwritten proofs, to other troop commanders who had made their comments, and finally we came up with a history which was privately printed and circulated, and no doubt there'll be a copy of it in the Imperial War Museum.
So you then left the Marines?
Yes, it was a case of either staying or getting out, and I thought the best thing is to get out. But at this stage, I used to go and play rugby for the Portsmouth barracks at Eastleigh, and that was quite pleasant. Played meant moving around England quite a lot. We got out at Chatham, and we played the Fleet Air Arm at Portsmouth. We played against the Harlequins. I think it was in Twickenham or near there. And so that was quite a pleasant time now.
So what did you do when you left the Royal Marines?
Well, I left the Royal Marines, and I got there was an offer made to people leaving the forces to take a sort of crash university course in general business. And the idea was that companies would take on, or we were paid a certain amount of money, and the companies will bid for these students, you might say, and they gave them a job, and they only had to pay them a half salary because they got the other half came from the government. So this was started off in a glass business in Newcastle, and shortly after that I left for Canada.
To do what?
Well, again, in the glass business. I've been invited by this company, which was very handy, really.